Welcome to the Holy Spirit's Curriculum of Joy podcast. My name is Wanika Oberhuber, and my guest today is Sudhi Shipman. Hi, and welcome to the
Hi, Wanika. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you to be back with you again. It's been a few years since you and I talked. Last time we weren't even on video.
Very true. And I'm so happy you decided to come back and share some more with us. So this is going to be really exciting. And I'll start with the main question and feel free to answer it in any way that feels good to you or feels guided. So how did you come to see the world the way you do today?
Well, that's a really easy question to answer because A Course in Miracles is the work that I have been doing all of my life for the last 30 years. And it is definitely what the miracles occurred. It has shifted my perception. It has definitely brought me to the place of being able to see the world as a place to learn, to awaken, to love, to be of service. To see as the reflection of what is in my mind and what I need to forgive. That's probably the most important insight that I have gained recently, in that I have come to see that whatever is occurring out there in the world is a projection from my mind, and it's there for me to forgive. And I can talk a lot more about that, but I'm going to hand it back to you for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, it's a huge topic, I think, in A Course in Miracles, generally speaking. And it's a huge topic for anyone who is struggling with what they see out there and their interpretation of it. And the same for me as for anyone else. And I think it's really, really beautiful that there's people who are able to shift that way and see it as a way of growing, right? Rather than a struggle or something to fight against or to project more onto. So maybe you'd like to share more about that perspective and how you've been able to live that way.
Thanks, Wanika. I would actually love to do that. It's funny, we didn't come to this conversation with any kind of agenda in mind, but the Holy Spirit always has a way of introducing to my mind what is useful for somebody that's going to listen to this podcast, or that is listening to this podcast. And so the first thing that occurs before I even start that conversation is to reinforce the idea of listening to the Holy Spirit. So we have an internal guidance system. And that internal guidance system is the voice of God, which is also called the Holy Spirit. Or you could also call it your higher self or your divine self. It is that within you which remembers the truth of who you are. And so the first most important step on the spiritual path is to get in touch with your own voice. That is the voice of God within you. And it's within everybody, and there are no exceptions. So don't think that if you're listening to this, that's not possible for you. It is entirely possible for you. And the voice that would be telling you that it's not possible is the voice of your ego mind. And that's the voice that you don't want to listen to. So underneath that voice that always kind of speaks loudest and first is a peaceful, quiet voice that anybody can tap into and get guidance from. And that is our internal guidance system, the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, our higher self. It's all synonymous. And it is a voice that will always bring us joy or peace or love or safety or security. If it's fearful, then you're hearing the voice of the ego mind. You'll know, and there won't be any reservations when you know you're hearing your own higher self speaking to you, right? So you'll know, you'll be certain that's what that is. And I like to tell people that it's going to be telling you things that you want to do. It'll be like a happy thought, a blissful thought to follow that, not a fearful thought or a fearful feeling. It'll be like, oh yeah, I really want to do that. And then you can know that that's coming from the voice of the Holy Spirit, from your higher self. But it's going to lead you into joy or peace or love. Universal love, not romantic love, but love coming from within you in your heart. So that's the first thing that I think that we need to highlight before I go on to talk about the deeper teachings of A Course in Miracles and removing guilt from our mind, is that that first step is really learning how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And it's really not learning. It's more of like tuning into that channel. So it's not something that we have to learn. It's something that we have to listen to. So it's there inside of you, just like a channel on the TV. You just switch the channel from the ego mind to the God mind or the Holy Spirit's voice, which might make it a little bit easier for somebody to know how to access that, because it is a voice within you. You may very well have been listening all your life, or you may never have listened and don't think that you can, but you can listen to that voice. And don't make it difficult. So my pathway, as I said, has been A Course in Miracles, and also the second book, A Course of Love, that was published, channeled here in this country, the United States. And the receiver, the first receiver, was Mari Perrone. She'd be a good person for you to have as a guest, if she would do it. She's a little shy. She just likes being the channel. But anyways, A Course of Love is, in my opinion, the sequel to A Course in Miracles, and it's been a very important masterwork in my life as well as A Course in Miracles. And so where I'm going to be speaking from today is from A Course of Love and from A Course in Miracles. So there's a very interesting passage in A Course of Love, and it's in the back of the book in the 40 days and 40 nights. It's day 16. It's called Paradise Refound. And Jesus says some very extraordinary things in that passage. One of the things that he says is, this might be a few pages earlier, but he says, acceptance is necessary because escape is impossible. So I'll say that again. Acceptance is necessary because escape is impossible, or it says not possible. Escape is not possible. So what the heck does that mean? So we can't escape from the world. This isn't about escaping from the world, right? We can't escape not only from the world, but from our emotions, our feelings. And this is really about our feelings, acceptance of, and about accepting whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in. Very difficult hurdle to overcome if we find ourselves in difficult circumstances or unwanted circumstances, right? Yeah. So, but acceptance of those circumstances is necessary because escape from them is not possible. And it's actually a hopeful message. So just bear with me if that's a hard pill for you to swallow, if you're listening. So he goes on then to describe in the next paragraph in that section that all illness is rejected feelings. So it's a pretty bold statement that all physical illness of the body is too, is what he's talking about, mm-hmm. is rejected feelings. And it's feelings that you have had about yourself. So all illness is rejected feelings, feelings that you may have felt about yourself, right? But you rejected them, you didn't feel them. So it could be fear, it could be anger, it could be guilt, it could be most likely shame, which is the hardest one for us to access and feel, is shame. And what happens when we don't feel our feelings, and when all of us have this going on, because all of us, you know, have lived our life and have had circumstances in which we couldn't probably feel something that we were feeling at the time, most likely as children, right? And even as adults, because we don't learn as children how to feel our feelings or even acknowledge our feelings. And then as adults, it's something that we can learn. So this is a learning process of learning how to feel our feelings. So all illness is feelings that we've had about ourselves that have been suppressed or rejected. Right. And I don't have the book with me, but there's an interesting line at the end of that paragraph that I'll paraphrase. It says, so these are all feelings that we've had about ourselves that we blame ourselves for. So we blame ourselves for the sorry circumstances of our lives, is what he says. And these are all feelings that you think you know, that you've come to think you know, and you know that you are to blame for the sorry circumstances of your life. So the other thing that he talks about is projected ejected feelings, and that he calls it ejected feelings, but we'll just use projection because that's Course in Miracles terminology. So he says all the circumstances that you see, situations, crises, events of any kind that you see out here in the world, right? Not inside yourself, but out here in the world that are upsetting to you, right? Are ejected feelings or projected feelings. So this is what's been working me lately and where I came from that initial statement. So everything that I see outside of myself that would be, so let's say it's an upset with another person, right? And I think that person is to blame and I want to change that person so that I'm not upset by them anymore. I actually have to turn that around and look within myself. So this is actually something that I have denied about myself. And that is guilt in my mind, from A Course in Miracles terminology. It's guilt that's in my mind that I have projected out onto the world. And this is why I'm seeing that situation or that crisis out in the world is a reflection back to me so that I can forgive it. And so that's a huge turnaround from the teachings of the world. That's a huge turnaround from the teachings of the world, and that, and what we've been taught our lives, that we need to control the circumstances and the situations in our life so that we can be at peace. And of course, you can never control the circumstances and the situations in your life, so there isn't going to be that peace. The peace comes from your internal guidance system, from identifying with that internal voice within your own mind, and coming to know that as your true self. And then you come from a view of life, right, that allows you to keep removing the block to the awareness of love's presence, to quote A Course in Miracles again, right? And what are the blocks to the awareness of love's presence? Are those rejected and ejected feelings. So everything is a reflection coming back to you to see the areas in your life that you need to forgive so that you become a clearer channel for the light and love of God. And I will just talk a moment about forgiveness. So forgiveness to me, and in A Course in Miracles terminology, is forgiving to the Holy Spirit. So it's about introducing the Holy Spirit into our mind, which is just your right mind. If you don't like the Christian terminology, then it's your correct mind, right? Introducing that mind into your field of awareness so that it can correct your perception. So that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is asking the Holy Spirit for help to correct your perception. So it's asking for the miracle. The miracle is a shift in perception. So just to summarize again, is where, like, the most important place that I've come to in the world right now is realizing that anytime that I'm upset, anytime that something is going on wrong, anytime I might have a symptom in my body, that it's an indication to me to turn within and ask the Holy Spirit for help in clearing whatever is blocking me from the love and the light of God. And I'll put a little disclaimer in there about the body, and that is, I highly encourage people to, if they're sick, to get medical attention. You know, if I'm having some kind of pain in a crisis situation in the body that needs medical attention, I don't hesitate. I go to the doctor, and then you can work on the forgiveness work after you've gotten the symptoms under control. It's an additional work to actually taking care of the body. So it's not ignoring the body. We don't ignore the body. We take care of the body, but we do the forgiveness work. Okay, well, that was a long answer.
And it's a very full answer with many, many aspects. And I think one of the ways A Course in Miracles puts it is that any disturbance in your mind is a defense against the truth. So that's basically, that's just paraphrasing it. I think it's we put it into the term of illness. Illness is a defense against the truth, right? Any type of illness, you could say, or any type of disturbance of the mind or your experience. So I think that's something that's very difficult to accept, because one of the things I struggle is with this idea that you can change your mind about anything, right? You can allow yourself to see anything as an opportunity for forgiveness, for happiness, for joy, to become a part of your present in your situation, in your experience. So maybe we want to go deeper into how this can be done, because yes, we get into these situations where we think there's no way out. There's nothing we can do. It's hopeless or whatever, right? There can be these situations where you get into that feeling, or you're overwhelmed or whatever it is, right? And you're saying, okay, this is all a projection of ejected, rejected defenses against the truth, whatever we want to call them, right? So how do you change your mind about that so that you can actually accept, like you were saying, I think that's very true. You cannot run away from your experience. You can't, you just cannot get away from it. So you don't have a choice in the end. You're accepting it in one way or another, whether through pain and struggle or through another way that you're describing, right? But the acceptance is inevitable. You can't avoid it. You'll have to accept it at some point in one way or another. So the idea that you're sharing is that there's a way of accepting it that actually allows joy to become obvious to you, or to become part of your experience, or to become your experience. So maybe we might like to look into that some more.
Yeah, thank you. That's great. I would love to. The first thing that occurs to me to say is that this is a process. And very rarely does a sudden shift occur in that you're transported out of the awareness of the body into the light and love. It's more, that does happen. And it did happen for me. That was one of my experiences. I didn't know what was happening. I've come to understand it more as it's gone on. But life has gone on. But this is a process that happens over a course of years and even decades. I see that A Course in Miracles in my generation, I'm 60. So in my generation of people that have been studying this, somewhere around 20 years is when the payoff, the enlightenment really shows up. Right. And that's true if you're following any kind of spiritual path, if you're doing, some sort of meditation work, it's or following, some other spiritual path. It's a long process. And why is it a long process? Because it takes a long time to develop trust in the process and trust in the Holy Spirit. The only thing that you have to do is invite the Holy Spirit into your mind. So it's a very simple practice. It's a very simple practice. We are asking the Holy Spirit for help. And that's all that it has to be, is like help. That's the only word that we need to utter, it, because it's coming from our heart, where we're really asking the Holy Spirit that I can't figure this out. This is our first lessons in the Course in Miracles. I don't know what anything is for, right? I've given everything I see all the meaning it has for me. And I've come to understand that what I'm seeing and how I'm seeing it is detrimental to my happiness. And so I'm willing to let myself be shown something different. And so that's what's required, is our willingness to say, maybe I don't know everything. And that seems really easy, but it takes a long time to let go of that control. I'll just say it flat out. It takes a long time for us to think that there might be a higher power that knows better than we do, and to introduce and invite is probably the better word, to invite the Holy Spirit then into our mind to help us heal our perception. And it takes a long time to trust that. That's why I'm saying that it's a decades long, a years, decades long process. Now I am seeing some people, the younger generation, that this seems to be a little bit shorter process for. And A Course in Miracles would explain that in that the people that have come before you and done the work before you have opened up, helped open up your mind to be able to trust quicker. And that's explained in the statement, all minds are joined. Bodies cannot join, minds are joined. Bodies cannot join, but our minds are joined. And how that seems weird. So if we're looking at it from the perspective of I'm Sudhi and you're Wanako, and you have a mind and I have a mind, how could that mind be joined, right? That's the misperception, that the mind, that we've taken the properties of the body, which seems to be separate and distinct and alone and private, and we've attributed those attributes to the mind, and we think our mind is separate, alone, distinct, and private. But our mind, that's the ego mind, it is, right? But the God mind, that which is our true reality, is not. It's the same mind in everybody. It, because there is no, it's not separate, it's one. It's non-dual. That's the better word to describe it. That then we go into a realm of non-duality. And for me, that the experience of that realm comes more in my heart or lower down in my body. I describe it as it's deep in my mind, but it's not in my brain. You know, it's not up here. The brain is not the mind. The mind is something different. I'm also a teacher of Dr. David Hawkins' work. And I like his explanation of what we are. And what we are is infinite awareness. So we are that which is aware. And that which is aware is the same awareness in every single thing that you see. That's how, if we think of creation or God's creation is not in space and time. It doesn't exist in physicality. It exists as an energy, if you will, because there's not a better word to describe it. But then you could say mind. So the energy of mind is God's creation, and we cannot be separate and distinct from that. We can believe that we are. We can have a dream in which we think we are, which is what we're doing in this physical reality. And that's why it's called awakening, because we're awakening from this dream that we're separate and distinct from God when we're not, right? And so we're waking up to that non-dual place within us, within our heart, within our body, within our what you would call God mind. To our awareness of that. And that's why it is a process that takes a long time, because it's very scary to give up what we think we know, and what we think we know will make us happy, and what we think we know will keep us safe. And that's because we have identified ourselves as our body. And of course, the body is very vulnerable, right? And not only is it vulnerable to be hurt physically, it's vulnerable to be hurt emotionally, you know? Loss, we can lose. We can think we can lose, you know, a pet, a person, a job, our house. And we do. It's not that we don't lose those things, but when we're identified with ourselves as a body, then we suffer a loss. And as we slowly, over time, shift our awareness from the perception of ourselves as a body to the actual belief and then knowledge of ourselves as that which is spirit or awareness, then we lose that fear of loss because we're identified with something then that's eternal. And then I'll kind of loop that back to the ejected and the rejected feelings, which are the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. And then we can see the motivation for the forgiveness works, the introduction of the Holy Spirit into our minds. Because we want, what do we want? If you really look at it, you think, well, I want $1 million in the bank. I want a, you know, a roof over my head. I want a job. I want a wife. I want all my relatives to be happy and peaceful. But if you really look underneath all those wants and desires, really what you want is peace. So if I have $1 million in the bank, then I'm going to feel very secure in being able to keep my body safe in the world and be able to fulfill any need that I might have. Then I talked to a very wealthy man once and about this a long time ago, and he was a billionaire, so a very wealthy man, and he said it's not any better because then you just worry about losing it. So it's funny how the mind will continually find something to be worried about and not feel safe about and not feel peaceful about. So, you know, you might have $1 million in the bank, but you're going to worry how when that $1 million runs out, or that, you know, the banking system might crash, or somehow it's going to be taken away from you. So look at that. Look at that thought system. That's a thought system of worry and fear. And so you think, well, now I need more money, or I need to make sure my investment is secure. But all of that you're looking for is to find peace or safety in the world. And you'll never find peace or safety in material things. The peace and safety comes from resting in God, from the identity of the God, of identifying yourself as that which is aware. And it's really a much more natural shift than you would think, because it is your operating system. It is what is operating you. If you're relatively new to this and you're listening to this podcast, the ego mind might have been the dominant, separate, distinct little mind. Self perceives itself as little and small, right? And alone in the world, private, right? That's the ego mind, the fearful mind. That might be the dominant voice in your mind, but the awareness of you as your higher self is also there. It's your natural state. So it's not as mystical as it sounds, and it's not as scary as it sounds, because it's something you've already identified with. It's kind of like you pop into that awareness of it, and you're like, Oh, yeah, of course. That's always been a part of me. So it's very natural to us. But the little separate, distinct part of ourselves is fearful of letting go of what it thinks it knows and wants and desires, and relaxing into our natural state. And so that's a long, drawn out process of developing that trust through the forgiveness, through the miracle, through the cycle of forgiveness and miracles occurring, right? So this is all explained in the Manual for Teachers and A Course in Miracles and the development of trust. And in the early stages of my journey with A Course in Miracles, I read that section of A Course in Miracles over and over and over again to bring peace to my mind, because it says that very few teachers of God escape the difficulty in going through this process. It is somewhat fearful for everyone. So have patience with yourself. This is why I say it's very important to, and welcome, Henry came in. It's very important to lost my train of thought. I'll get it right back. It's important to have patience with yourself, to not be in a hurry, that's what it is. It's important to take care of your physical body. So if you're sick, go to the doctor. Do your forgiveness work, but go to the doctor, because when I first got into this, it was about health issues, and I see people with health issues, and they keep thinking that their body's going to heal, but this is a long process, and the instantaneous, miraculous healings don't necessarily occur. But what will occur is something unexpected, which is you'll become peaceful and you'll be able to accept any circumstance that you find yourself in, because you are no longer identified with the body. You don't see, what does that mean? You don't see yourself as your body. You know yourself as the eternal self, the mind, or the awareness that within. But it takes a long process you'll have glimpses of it. You know, we've all had those glimpses of being transported beyond the body. If it's, it could be in the beauty of nature, it could be in an orgasm and sex, it could be in meditation, it could be just spontaneous lifting out of your awareness for what seeming no reason of all, and all of a sudden you have a light episode or a light experience. A light episode is what's called in A Course in Miracles, right? But we don't stay in those experiences. We long for those experiences again, but we don't stay in them. And the reason that we don't stay in them is that we still have more blocks to clear. We still have more forgiveness work to do. Forgiveness is my function here, right? Forgiving to the Holy Spirit for introducing the Holy Spirit into my mind and helping him to correct my mind. Let's see, there was another thought that ran through my mind there. So a lot of us get into this journey for different reasons. And I don't think any of us get what we expected or wanted or desired. But we get something far greater, far better. We find the peace of God. And we find that what we might want is healing of the body. And that may or may not occur. But what happens is that we have found peace within ourselves. And that is a far greater gift, far more valuable than anything else that we could attain on earth, is to be in peace. Okay.
Oh, another subject we could introduce here is the one that many things in the world, in the dream, take a lot of practice to be able to master. right? And we would think, you know, if you call help, then this greater power, this greater knowledge would take over and spare you all that effort, right? And it's not the case. So, at least in my experience, so the question is, how do you come to terms with this realization? You have to do this, you have to learn the things yourself, even if you are able to access or to say yes to support from the Holy Spirit or from the right mind. So the right mind is not saying you don't have to do the things yourself, I guess, even though that's something you might conclude is the case. So there, you know, it always speaks about how Jesus will clear the path for you, will do this and that, right? The question is, what does that mean? Because I realize, you know, that all these things like learning to play an instrument, you have to do the work. You won't get there without it, even if you're divinely inspired. But there's people, you know, they get divinely inspired and they play and they start singing songs and so on, and it appears easy, right? It appears as if they're having an easy time. So what is the meaning of that, right? Because some people have that experience, others don't, and so on. I'm curious what your take on that is.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It is a practice, isn't it? Yes. And that's why it takes what I'm saying is, don't expect this to happen overnight. It can take years, decades, because it is a practice. And so how do we resolve when we've asked for help? And, you know, I've heard that a lot in my lifetime when I might be talking to somebody that's not necessarily on a spiritual path. Well, one time I asked God for help or Jesus for help, and he didn't answer me, right? But he didn't answer you in the way that you think that he should answer you. You know, it might be God, so then we're praying for things, basically. We're praying maybe for the healing of the body. We're praying for a manifestation of some sort of desired object, person, place, thing. But that isn't what's going to, that's not salvation. That's not what's going to make us happy. It would temporarily make us happy, but it would not bring us into the peace of God, which is our real salvation. I can see that maybe that word might be a little bit triggering for some people, but it is a word from A Course in Miracles. But what is salvation? Salvation is coming to know oneself as Christ. As Christ consciousness. Christ consciousness is the same thing as awareness. So coming to identify oneself as Christ consciousness instead of the body. And so that's where the angst lies. The angst lies is, I ask God for help and then I tell him what I want. And then when what I want doesn't manifest, I don't think God has answered me. Now, Jesus is very adamant in A Course in Miracles, and he says it over and over and over again, that when you invite the Holy Spirit in, he answers you immediately. I'll give you an example. It might be maybe sometimes examples are a little easier to understand than just a bunch of words and me talking. The text of A Course in Miracles, it talks about the holy relationship versus the special relationship. And the holy relationship is a relationship that two people have endeavored to undertake to invite the Holy Spirit into that relationship. And in the healed relationship, which I think is in chapter 17. I don't remember exactly. But there's a section in one of the chapters called the healed relationship, which with along with the development of trust, I've read over and over and over again. And in the healed relationship, Jesus says that once you invite the Holy Spirit into your relationship, he answers immediately. And then in the next few sentences, he says, the only difficult phase is the beginning, which right there speaks to the difficulty that happens when you invite the Holy Spirit into your mind. So when I have endeavored to undertake holy relationships with people, they have become intense and full of conflict and very, very difficult, to the point where the relationships usually broke apart. Actually, all of them did. We couldn't follow. We couldn't keep going with it. We had to stop. It was too intense. And that's because I had what I think that I wanted in that relationship. It was what my ego wanted in that relationship, rather than what the Holy Spirit was there to provide. To provide for, I don't want to say provide for me, but that's the only thing I can think of to explain it. So the purpose of the holy relationship is the extension of the holy instant. And what is the holy instant? The holy instant is also could be called joining, in which the identity and the awareness of my identity as something separate and distinct falls away, and I have joined with the mind of another human being, and I realize my oneness with another human being. When you undertake a holy relationship, when two people commit to that together, right? All of a sudden, all of the ego's goals that one wanted for that relationship are going to come right to the surface for you to be able to see them. And because there is what I think, so I can just make it personal, is because what I think that I wanted out of the relationship, right? And that was not in line with the goal of what the Holy Spirit wanted out of the relationship. The Holy Spirit's job is to get me to, and the other person, to the holy instant, to the joining that occurs, and to the awareness of that minds are joined and not bodies. But it's a very difficult thing to let go of what I think that I want in that relationship. And it's a very difficult thing for the other person to let go of what they think they want in the relationship. And so there has to be a continual surrendering of what I want and of the conflict and of asking the Holy Spirit for help, until you get beyond the hurdle of thinking you know what the relationship is for. And it's really about surrendering completely to the Holy Spirit. Because, and this was the point of how to get there, it's the prayer that I've been saying lately is, I don't know what anything is for. I don't know why this relationship is in conflict. I don't know why I got COVID. good. I don't know why I lost my job, whatever it is, right? I don't know what this is for, Holy Spirit, but you do. Show me. I trust you. You show me what this is for. And what occurs is that I become peaceful about the situation. You know, whatever I can, it's a hard thing to describe. So I can stand in a non-dual kind of holographic place in my mind of surrender, of I don't know anything. And if I let go of control, you'll show me. You'll show me. So I told you I was going to give you a specific example. And I told you none of my holy relationships worked out, but this current one, it did split. We did. It got too intense, and I got furious and defensive and ended the relationship. But then, because I got triggered, but then a few days later, after the anger had settled down, I handed it over to the Holy Spirit. And what occurred was this deep compassion and love for the other person. Now, we split up, and I didn't talk to him. But I just sent him that love and that compassion. And then over the course of a few months, the Holy Spirit continued. We talked, we texted, you know, we were kind of in communication. We're in the same community, so we see each other. The Holy Spirit continued to work in that relationship. And what happened was he had surgery. And when he had surgery, you know, before they do surgery, they give you some really nice drugs to calm you down. And it calmed down his mind. And I found out later that when he was in the room for the surgery, the pre-op room, waiting for the surgery, all he thought about was me and wished I was there, missing me. And my experience on the other end of that was I was transported into this holy instant, to this deep place within me, in such connection and love and joy. And I felt it coming from him. And it was after the surgery that he was better. He texted me. He said, I'm through the surgery. We talked somehow, and he told me, oh, I want you to know that all I thought about was you. And I said, well, I know, because I felt it. It was an amazingly loving, beautiful experience of him extending love to me and me being able to feel it outside of time and space without any communication in what we call the world, right? And I texted him back and I said, I felt this, and since you extended it to me, it's going to come back to you, and I invite you to be aware of it, of that happening. And it did happen for him a few days later. He had a memory of a time when we were traveling, and the memory sparked in him this awareness of, you know what, she really loved me. And as soon as he stepped into the awareness of she really loved me, he was transported into the holy instant. And so that's an example of how the Holy Spirit works outside of time and space, and that doesn't necessarily give you what you wanted. The relationship isn't necessarily like we're not necessarily back together. We might get back together, but the experience of the holy instant for him and for me has taken us to new levels of awareness and understanding and love and peace. And that's what the relationship is for. So it's a different circumstance than what one would think one desires. You know, one desires, think that, oh, I want a relationship. I want a companion. I want to be married. I want to, you know, be with you all the time and all that kind of, and that's not what's happening in this relationship. But what is happening is that we are learning tremendous amounts we're incorporating tremendous amounts of peace, that the mind is letting go of tremendous amounts of blocks. And there's just more peace and more love and more awareness that's coming in to both of our minds. And neither, we're not angry with each other anymore. We're grateful for each other. So that's an example of how the Holy Spirit works in this world. So it's not necessarily the circumstances that you think that you want, but you didn't know that you wanted to have that love and that joy and that compassion, and that awareness of oneself as something far greater than you've ever perceived yourself to be.
Wow, quite an answer. Yeah. So, in other words, there is a lot of things that you are in this situation of learning things in the dream, right? And they take time, right? Like learning to be kind, learning to say, okay, you are this way, I am that way. And we enjoy that, or we don't, right? But to be able to, and learning all the things you need to learn, because one of the things I've discovered in when you're interacting with other siblings, right, is that you never know what's going to happen. You never know what you need to learn in order to get along with the other person, right? So there's siblings who will trigger me a lot, right? A lot. And there's others who may be very kind and so on, right? But there's all these different types. But everywhere, there's things that you do where you think, oh, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or, right, I have to, or you get into these things. At least I've experienced that. And then there's other things where you say, ooh, this is exactly what I wanted to do. How nice is that? That I get to do this and experience the appreciation of my fellow sibling, right? Now, where does all this learning come into what you're speaking of? Because you were sharing how you wanted a holy relationship, and you got a relationship that got too intense, and broke apart. And then you're feeling like it might come together again in this case, right? In this particular case. But it's like, okay, I wanted a holy relationship. I wanted more peace in my life. And I wanted it to be with this sibling and last, right? I want it to be a lasting thing. And then you get this other experience where you're like, oh my God, there's too much to learn here. There's too many things to accept, too many things that I don't want, or I want, or but are not enough, or whatever, right? And so when we remember the special relationship is all about wanting to have something that supposedly the other has, not seeing yourself as whole, right? And the holy relationship is in the one in which you see yourself as whole and the other as whole. So actually you're both whole and nobody is less whole than the other. And this wholeness reaffirms the oneness that you were speaking of before, that minds are joined. So this whole process is quite interesting. And of course, in A Course in Miracles, it also speaks of you don't have to give up anything, right? There's nothing you need to give up. Now, what do you think about that? You know, you don't have to give up anything. So it's not like you have to give up all these wants or things that you think you need or blah, blah, blah. So it's actually, so what does that mean? Not to give up anything and yet to have this, I don't know, I guess the gift that A Course in Miracles is speaking about is, you know, peace of mind, peace of God, happiness, and so on and so forth. And yet you're speaking of, you know, this long journey of having to go through all these things before you can actually accept the presence of love into your life as a permanent presence.
There's a lot in that question. So first of all, let's see. As regards to the holy relationship, it delivered. So if the purpose of the holy relationship is the extension of the Holy of the holy instant into time, what this gentleman and I had the experience of separately, not together in the same room, even in the same state at the time, but we had the experience of the holy instant. And we knew the love of God. We were outside of time and space, the reality, the seeming reality of time and space, and of fear. So fear was replaced by peace and joy and happiness and compassion and love. And so I thought, in special relationship, you know, I wanted a husband or whatever. But what I got instead was the holy instant, which was far more valuable than having a man in my life, right? So the little wants of what the person thinks it wants are then completely eclipsed by the love and the joy that I found within myself in the holy instant. And now, so where I have come to, and this was an important point, is I'm not attached to the relationship. I'm not attached at all to him being in my life. He can come or he can go, and I'm perfectly happy and at peace because the purpose of the relationship was delivered. The ego no longer wants anything. It just allows for, and I just allow for and accept exactly what is, and it's easy. I need to do nothing for that to occur. It is just what it is. So that's one thing that I wanted to kind of come full circle with the holy relationship and make sure that that point got across, is that the Holy Spirit delivered what was supposed to be delivered, which was the holy instant and not what I thought I wanted and what he thought he wanted. And, but we're still removing that. There's still like these blocks that are just being removed from our mind. It's kind of like I see this spinning out of all of this dross from our minds. It's really interesting. So it's still happening. It's still occurring into greater levels of love and joy and peace. But what is it? So segueing now to the next point is what we're doing over this years long process of this journey with A Course in Miracles is we're removing judgment from our mind. So what occurs is that I think it, let me put it this way. So what's important is to look within. So in this process, I call myself a recovering fixer. I was always trying to fix the world, and I was pretty damn sure that I could fix the world if people would just listen to me. Right? But that's an external trying to fix something. And so slowly over time, the process became internalized, where I was looking within, where I wasn't looking without to fix somebody else or some situation. I was looking within my own mind and going, okay, how do I feel about this? So first of all, it was, how do I feel about it? Like, it's making me angry. And then I allow myself to be angry. That's the acceptance of those feelings that we would reject or project. If I'm angry, I could yell at somebody, right? But no, it's the awareness of, oh, I'm angry. Well, let's turn within and see what's going on here. So I would let myself just fully feel the energy of that anger. Oh my gosh, my body's shaking, my heart's pounding. Like, how am I feeling? Like, I'm vibrating. Oh wow, this is a really powerful anger. Just let myself in from an internal perspective feel exactly what was going on. And then I look at the thoughts that are going on in my mind, and this is the internal process that A Course in Miracles, the lessons of A Course in Miracles, shift us into, which is, what's going on in here? And what's going on in here is, I don't like what that brother is doing, or that sibling is doing, in your terminology, right? And I want them to change. Oh man, that's judgment. That's judgment. I'm judging them. I'm thinking they should be different than they are. And when I'm judging them, when I'm in a state of judgment, I am in my ego mind. That's the ego operating system, not the internal guidance system, but the ego operating system. And that's where I need help. That's where I then again ask the Holy Spirit for help. Help me to see this sibling, this brother, this sister differently. If I take up the mantle of judgment, my thoughts will come up with all these grievances that I have about them. I don't like this. I don't like that. They did this. They did that. Look how they did that to me. And I'm a victim now. And they're the perpetrator. And then I can be the perpetrator. And they're the victim. And my mind will just keep going in all these scenarios of grievances, which is kind of how we have that initial judgment. And then we just get on the grievances. And we can be lost in those grievances for decades. Speaking of decades, right? And so it is this bringing this awareness to, oh my God, what's going on in here? I'm furious. I'm going to let myself feel that anger, right? So this is the process I went through with my brother in the holy relationship. Was I got so triggered that I ended the relationship. It was basically F you, right? I was so mad. I didn't even know. I went so much into the reaction. This was just several months ago, that I didn't even realize that I was in a reaction. I didn't even have an awareness of, like, Sudi, you're angry. No, I was just fully in the trigger. It's abandonment from my childhood, from my parents' divorce. You know, when I analyzed it later, it was triggering all that breakup of my family. Of origin and all the anger in that. And so I told you, like, 3 or 4 days later, I kind of woke up and I went, oh, you're really angry there. You were so angry, right? That you just acted out of that anger and ended the relationship. I mean, that's how angry you, and that's okay. I didn't make it a bad thing, but realizing that I was triggered and that I was reacting out of that early childhood trauma and trigger, right? And projecting it onto him, and he was projecting all his stuff onto me. allowed me then to introduce the Holy Spirit into my mind and feel what I was feeling, feel the anger. And that happened over weeks of being able to really feel that. But I came to instantly, I came to compassion. I came to compassion for him, and I came to compassion for me, and the realization of that really all I want here is love. I choose, you know, the power of decision is my own. I choose love, not special love. I choose to feel love and compassion for this person, for my brother, for my sibling, and not judge them thinking they should be different. Right. And in that, it did lead us in his own letting go of judgment, which was, I will say, helpful with the drugs, right? That led us into the holy instant. But he, you know, he's told me that he was just full of judgment and grievances about me. And that suspended the judgment momentarily, which allowed the holy instant to step in. It's amazing that the Holy Spirit will use whatever it is that we choose in life to introduce that light and that love into our minds as soon as the opportunity arises. So the Holy Spirit will always be working in your relationship, regardless of the circumstances and what seems to be happening. And this whole spiritual process, this whole spiritual path is an internal process. It's not about changing external circumstances. It's about observing and watching what's going on in your own mind and forgiving that. I'm not really forgiving my brother, my sister. I'm forgiving my thoughts of judgment about them. I want to see them how God sees them, not how my ego mind thinks that they should be and sees them. So that's the difference between what the body's eye sees and the vision of Christ, right? I want to see you as the Holy Spirit sees you, which is not as a body with your faults, your judgments, your concerns, your separation, right? That's not how the Holy Spirit sees anybody. He sees them as they are, as their true identity, as one with their creator, one with God. And I can't do that on my own. How could I do that on my own? I have to ask for help. And then the process is the removing of the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, God's presence, love, God, synonymous. So removing the awareness, removing the blocks to the awareness of God's presence within myself. In me, right, is becoming aware of my feelings. Oh, I'm angry. Oh, I'm scared. Oh, I'm sad. Oh, I'm devastated. Oh, I'm intolerant. Oh, I'm bitchy. Whatever it is, right? Becoming aware of, instead of just projecting all that out there onto the world and screaming about it, internally realizing, oh, I'm angry. What's going on, Sudi? What are you thinking about? What's the judgment going on in your mind? And then being able to hand that over to the Holy Spirit. And I've been doing this for over 30 years, and I still react. I just gave you an example. I still get lost in my reaction, right? So it's been the most tremendous blessing because it put me into a place of love and compassion and non-attachment and really, really the understanding, the really deep understanding. I don't know what anything is for. I don't know. I think I do. I think I know what I want, and I don't. And I can stand in that now because of the results of what happened in this relationship, of it bringing me to that place of non-attachment and the holy instant, and really being able to extend that holy instant because it's love. I can extend that love. It generalizes. I can then extend that love to all beings, right? Yeah. Thank you.
Well, before we start wrapping up, are there any questions that have occurred to anyone listening, or should we go into some, see how could we go one step deeper before we finish? Okay, let's say there's a lot of us out there who are studying, you know, for exams or for getting papers written or this and that. And there's a lot of thoughts going on when one does that, right? Sometimes it's elation, sometimes it's frustration, sometimes it's tediousness and whatever else might come up. So now that's not a person, but you may be thinking of the teacher or whatever when you're doing that. What does this teaching about the holy relationship bring into that? Because it's a very, because like I said, you know, learning is, can be a lot of things. You have to learn things that many people have already learned, right? Question is, why do I have to learn it again if it's already learned? And we have one mind, we're joined in mind. Now, why is that so triggering when you think of, you know, the help, asking for help and so on? Yeah, the world is different than what we expect it to be, right?
Well, that could take us a lot. That could be another podcast. But in A Course of Love, Jesus states adamantly and over again that the time of learning is over. This is gonna take us to the next level, definitely. So it really, if you really think about what I'm saying here, it takes you out of this world. So the values that we hold in this world, of learning, of getting an education, of getting a job, of getting married, having a family, saving for our retirement. None of that's a bad thing, but it's just what we value in the world. It's the normal course of our life. And in the normal course of that life, we learn a lot of things, right? We learn how to balance our checkbook, we learn how to pay our bills, we learn how to cook our meals, we learn how to change diapers, we learn how to study for an exam, we learn all the things that we need to learn, we can get a doctorate, you know, in a certain field of learning and be an expert on philosophy, you know, whatever it is, that this is all what learning is. We can even spend decades on the spiritual path, learning, you know, reading every book, learning all there is to learn about all the different teachers that have taught and published books. So Jesus says, the time of learning is over. That modality of life on earth is coming to an end. Speaking of wrapping things up, we're talking about the age of Aquarius, right? So that model of humanity is coming to an end, and it's being replaced with what he calls the new. And we're still coming into the understanding of what that means as the new. But what I've come to understand in my own life, and this isn't exactly what you were asking me, Monica, but it is the answer that's coming, is that we are as humanity, great numbers of people, unprecedented numbers of people on this planet are dedicating their lives to awakening, to enlightenment, to waking up. And we have really the books, the tools, the technology, to be able to do that now, that the ancient mystery schools are a thing of the past where this information is hidden. No, it's right here. And in A Course in Miracles, in A Course of Love, in other sacred text. It's in the Bible. The New Testament, when you read the New Testament from an enlightened state. So that world that Jesus talked about 2,000 years ago really is coming into existence now, where we're living as humans on this earth, but from an awareness of ourselves as divine, as our divinity. Then when a society embraces that level of conscious awareness, there really is peace on earth. Then we will be dedicated to life, to love, to serving one another, to helping our fellow human beings to awaken, not by changing them, but by changing our minds about them, by the forgiveness process. So that, you know, what Jesus tells us in the Course in Miracles is forgiveness is our function here, and we're not going home until everybody comes home, until everybody is awakened and will come home, until all minds have woken up to the truth of who we are. And that's what I'm seeing that's occurring in the world today, is that we're beginning to value that awakening, right? More than we are the pursuit of money, career, job, even the pursuit of happiness. It is the beautiful, compassionate service to our siblings, to humanity, to see them as the Christ in our mind. Gandhi's words come to me: be the change you wish to see in the world. So huge levels, unprecedented levels of humanity are now becoming the change that they wish to see in the world by forgiving the world, by introducing the Holy Spirit into their mind, by knowing that they don't know anything, right? But there is a higher power. It's the AA, Alcoholics Anonymous process too, right? I surrender. I don't know how to fix this. I surrender to a higher power. And what we're finding is that that Christ mind, that energy of the Christ mind, then incorporates into this body, right? And becomes the operating system of this body, and then works for the enlightenment. Just what you're doing, Monica, with this beautiful podcast that you do every week, working for the enlightenment of humanity, the awakening of humanity, so that we can come to peace and love and joy in each and every person. Aho.
Very powerful words and sharing. Yeah. Thank you so much. So now it's really time to wrap up. And I think you did a great job in wrapping up. So I would like to thank you for being my guest today. And as always, I thank everyone for joining us, for joining this podcast, for sharing about it, for reviewing it if you feel like it, for looking for people you'd like to, either you want to be a guest or you want have someone you'd like to tell them that you might want to contact Monica and so that you can be a guest on his podcast and all that. I'm thankful for all of that. And yeah, so thank you all for listening, for joining, and for supporting this work so that it's possible. And till next time, blessings to you all.